I'm going to be reading from Luke 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and then Steve will be bringing us the message. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. At the end of them, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him alone until an opportune time. Lesson, Steve.
If any of you were worried about April and I sitting on opposite sides of the sanctuary this morning, we're reconciled. I told her, I saw her in the hallway, I said, "I'm sitting near Esther and Ernie," and I always picture them over here. So during announcements, I look over and there's April and Esther and Ernie. So we figured it out. So we're starting, this is the first Sunday in Lent, and we're starting a series, Seeking God's Ways. And each week it's going to be somehow calling us to make this transition from our ways to God's ways, to repent of the ways that we go on our own and turn back towards the Lord God and his ways. And so today it's this transition from security to generosity. And in this transition, we're moving from seeking security for ourselves, trying to gain that for ourselves, to moving towards trusting God for our security, and therefore we're opening ourselves up to generosity as we let go and release the things that we're holding tightly to. And if we think of it in terms of freedom, which is our theme for the year, we're seeking freedom from this bondage towards a scarcity mentality. And I'll explain that this morning. But freedom from that, and freedom for generosity and trust and even creativity in our life towards others. Over the years, I've been in a number of teachings or seminars that talk about, in a spiritual sense, moving from a scarcity mentality towards an abundance mentality. And so I Googled that this week in preparation, just want to see what's out there. And I just pictured the things that I find would be really from a spiritual perspective, from a Christian perspective, because that's where I've been hearing it over the years. But I find out that this is a teaching or a way of giving counsel that's broader than just the church. Stephen Covey in his Seven Habits of Highly Effective People talks about moving from a scarcity mentality towards an abundance mentality. A lot of life coaching is encouraging people to do this. But the special emphasis for us as people of faith is that this movement is really centered on trusting in the Lord. That's how we, by gaining and holding on to trust in God above and Jesus, that's where we're going to move towards more of a sense of abundance and generosity. So just thinking first of all about this a sense of scarcity or really seeking security for ourselves. When we're dwelling in this, we have this fear that there's not going to be enough. So I need to focus on my own security. I need to protect and accumulate things for myself because I need to survive and thrive. So it's all about me and having this wall of protection and this accumulation of resources for myself. And I could just give a simple example in two words and say to you, toilet paper. And you probably all think about that sense of that scarcity mentality, like there's not enough toilet paper out there. Even though, you know, I really know that there's enough for all of us, but there's this great competition and I'm going to make sure I have enough and more than enough to last me. So that's a really good way to understand a scarcity mentality. There's a lot of fear in that and anxiety, like Sophia said, pressure to make sure that we have enough. Really activating those lower parts of our brain. It's all about survival. And that's where our focus is. We really want to protect and guard what we have, and even a sense of competition. Like if you achieve or if you gain something, then maybe I won't. I need to be in competition with you. So we're focusing on what we lack, and so we're striving to gain more and more for our own security. Now, my struggle with this week personally is thinking, as I look at my life, I really feel like I'm blessed. And even though I have enough, I still strive for more. I have some of this scarcity mentality. But I also know that there's people in this world who literally daily are trying to survive. They are living in a life of scarcity. And so how does this, I don't want to minimize that or exclude them from all this. Like many people have a scarcity of food or a scarcity of love, a scarcity of security in their life. But I still believe that even then, the believer in Christ is still challenged beyond a scarcity mentality. And I got a great example of that yesterday in an email that I got from Bishop Joe, that it was a letter from some Anabaptist churches in Ukraine and just what they're going through. And so I just want to share a couple of things that I've read in this letter. And it talks about in the southeast part of the country, these towns are surrounded by the Russian army. And it says that's where we have our churches. They've totally, the entrances or exits are totally isolated. There's a lack of food, water, and other basic goods. A scarcity, literally, is their situation right now. But the local churches are doing their best to provide for their members. And our ministers also say that this is a huge opportunity to share the gospel with others. Some churches have organized bomb shelters where both believers and non-believers take cover, and the latter can see the love of God through the work of our churches. From here, we're trying to figure out how we can establish ways of helping people, both refugees from affected regions and people who cannot leave for one reason or another. So there's hardly any situation I can think of where you'd be more tempted to just fall into a scarcity mentality and protecting what I have. I just need to survive what we're going through. But we have testimony of these churches looking beyond that, somehow having enough trust to say, we're going to share. We're going to make sure we take care of others. We're actually going to see this as an opportunity to witness and minister to others. And it just reminds me, I remember one time hearing a teaching about Book of Revelation and end times, and this teacher was talking about how there, towards the end, there can be a lot more tribulation. And I remember he said, this can be the church's finest hour in the midst of those tribulations, however that looks. But it's this very scenario that I just read, where the church can demonstrate a movement beyond just taking care of myself to really being generous and looking out for the needs of others. Because there's some level of trust there that God has. God will take care of me. Just another example. On Friday, I was at an all-day seminar with Ashetta Moore about Dear White Peacemaker. Some of you heard her Thursday night speaking and just sharing with those of us who are white and want to be involved in peacemaking, specifically in racial justice. And a couple of things that she said that really struck me, especially in terms of this topic, as it was in the front of my mind. She talked about the work of peacemaking. And I just, as an aside, I love how she describes justice. Justice is what love looks like in the public. That's a great, I think, a great definition of justice. But she says, in the work of peacemaking, and I would say in any kind of ministry, anytime we're trying to minister to others, we can have a scarcity mindset of asking, am I doing enough in my ministry? Am I proving my worth? You know, we need validation. It feels scarce. Am I enough? Am I doing enough? And she used the word hustle a lot, where there would be someone who's constantly active. There's so much to accomplish. I can't slow down. I just got to throw everything, all of my energy into it. And she talked about a need for rest, a time to tend to your soul, to have a time of Sabbath, so that you can be renewed for the work. But anytime we step back, when we feel there's such an important calling, but we step back from that and take Sabbath, and this is a challenge for us every week, we have to trust that Jesus is sufficient. It's his work of peacemaking or whatever ministry we're involved in. He's enough. He will accomplish what he will accomplish. I don't have to have this scarcity mindset of, I wonder if I'm contributing enough. So I just found that way of thinking really important. I know as a pastor in the past, like sometimes pastoring, it's a time of abundance, and other times it's a time of loss. And I remember some periods of time, especially one period of time, thinking, you know, when some people were leaving, and I remember thinking, if this family leaves, that's just going to really ruin our ministry, or it's going to be the last straw. But that's the scarcity thinking, like, I wonder if I'm enough as a pastor, or I wonder if this is enough as a ministry. No sense of this church is in God's hands, but just really falling into a scarcity mentality. I wonder if there's enough here for us. So with those kind of things in mind, I want to look at the temptations of Jesus, and the temptations of Jesus, like we heard, fall in line with the big temptations in Scripture that we see when the serpent talks to Adam and Eve in the garden, when Jesus is tempted for these 40 days, when Jesus in the garden again is tempted to maybe take his own way rather than the way of the cross before him. But Bruce Larson says here in his commentary on Luke that the devil or the tempter here, his message is God is withholding from you or God's holding out on you. And if you think about the temptations, that's often, you know, that's the message for Adam and Eve. There's more. You could have wisdom and knowledge beyond what God's giving you. You could see things like God. We only take this apple. In the same way here, if you're the son of God, why should you have to experience these things? Why would you need to take this path of mission? There's another way. And so I just want to look at these. The bread, first of all, the scarcity of you need bread. You know, you're hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? Why don't you solve your immediate problem and take care of yourself? Take matters into your own hands to make sure that you have that security. And you know, we can experience this in a lot of ways in our own lives, physically, financially, just every aspect of life, sexually, everything in life. This message, you're not being paid enough, or you don't have enough saved for retirement, or you're not getting satisfied enough, or you're not beautiful enough, or you're not strong enough. In all these different ways, we feel like there's a lacking. And what can I do about that? How can I take matters into my own hands to gain more security? And Jesus just gives us this great example of seeking something deeper, that there's a deeper place of security. There's deeper nourishment. There's deeper satisfaction in life. Now, he teaches, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. These things will be taken care of. And so we see Jesus not falling into that sense of scarcity and taking matters into his own hands, but trusting in the Lord. And he's shown the kingdoms of the world. You know, I'll give you all the glories of these kingdoms. I'll give you authority in all of these places if you'll just bow down and worship me. And here the significance, or the scarcity is, I lack significance. I lack power. I need more influence. I need more power. I need more control in my life. And it's often in those times when we make some kind of an unhealthy or an unholy alliance with something that's corrupt, or we choose a moral or a spiritual path of compromise that allows us to gain this power or this importance or this control over other people. For Jesus, the choice here is, I can be glorified. I can either be glorified this way by taking matters into my own hands and compromising and seeking that security and that power and that control, or I can be glorified and have all authority through the cross and through servanthood, the path that's laid out for me. And then he's taken to the top of the temple and the temptation, throw yourself down, do something spectacular for everybody to see. God's going to take care of you. He'll carry you through that. Here the scarcity is, I'm not noticed, I'm not popular enough, I'm not gaining enough attention. And maybe the best way to say is, I need to get more credit. People need to see more about me. Just a simple example that maybe you can relate to. Over the past number of months, my siblings and I have been preparing my mom's house for sale after her passing. And I felt a little bit of sensitivity about this because I'm the only one that doesn't live within 5 miles of this house. And, you know, am I doing enough? I remember one evening I went to work there and nobody else was there. Nobody knew I was there. And so in a sense, like in my heart, I was like, no, I'm not getting any credit for this. Or, you know, they already probably think I'm not doing enough and they don't know I'm here. So I remember I sent a text out, like with a question or something, which really wasn't important. The whole purpose of the text was so they knew I was at the house. And later I thought, that wasn't good. You know, like, what am I doing? And I was convicted that it's just, I need more credit, you know. And we can do that in a lot of ways. And Jesus says, look at the Pharisees, how they're out there praying and trumpets are blowing. Look at me as I'm giving to the poor. Look at me as I'm praying in front of all of you. They needed that credit. The bottom line with all this, with the sense of needing security and sensing scarcity, is that there's a lack of trust in God. And how can we trust that God is enough? Can we really believe that God is a God of enough, actually a God of abundance? And it's not a message of name and claim, like he'll bless me abundantly, whatever I want. But that in God there's true abundant life. And I can find it if I would seek those deeper things. Just to know that there's enough. I'm worthy to receive God's love and forgiveness and salvation. I'm enough as a person, the person God created me to be. That's enough. There's enough resources for life and for ministry. If someone else gets something, there's still possibility for me. If I rest and if I can't do it all, the work will still get done. God is enough to accomplish his purposes. If I'm weak, Christ will be my sufficiency. And so just to one thought of how we can build that sense of trust is another scripture for this Sunday. And I think probably the scriptures are listed on the back of the bulletin, the back bottom the scriptures for this week. But in Deuteronomy 26, that's what this is all about. Deuteronomy 26 talks about when it's instructions for when the people of Israel, they're still in the desert. Moses is getting the commandments, and I guess in Deuteronomy 26, he's just getting them ready to enter the promised land. But one of the teachings here is it's about the festival of weeks, the first fruits, like in June, the first harvest. They were supposed to come and present themselves before the priest with their first fruits, their yield, like in proportion to what they brought in. They were supposed to give this. Just if you want to come up later, this sweet potato looks like a person with a beard. So if you want to check that out later. But they were supposed to present this to the priest and then make a declaration. And it's really a declaration of trust. And it was a declaration of their story, the story of their people, but like they were putting themselves in this story, that God's been faithful to us. We can trust him. As I give this, I know this isn't just me. I've been blessed by God, and I can trust God. And so this is what they were supposed to declare as they were there before the priest. And I'm just breaking it up in these parts. My father was a wandering Aramaean, and he went down into Egypt. Just a reminder that he didn't have a home, and often Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they didn't have homes. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. They were few in number, but they became a great nation, mighty and populous. So there was this migration, and they were aliens in this foreign land. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, so this reminder of their suffering and their mistreatment, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, our toil, and our oppression. So they cried out to God, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs, with wonders. And so God powerfully redeemed them and freed them from their slavery. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, into a fertile land. And so God provided for us. God was faithful in that. And so when we move to this place of trust, it's a place where we celebrate as that person would have done, bringing their first fruits. Again, not just this is the work of my hand, but this is the work of a faithful God who provided for us. And we really believe that God is enough, and in fact, God is more than enough for us. We trust in that. And because we have that trust that God's enough for us, there's a sense of gratitude and contentment instead of that pressure and that anxiety. Will I have enough? And so there's gratitude that flows from us. And since we're holding less tightly, we can trust that there's going to be enough to be generous. Again, I'll just point back to this Christians in Ukraine who can trust enough to be generous and caring towards others, even in the midst of their scarcity. We can be joyful when other people find success or when other people find provision, because we're no longer in competition with that. You know, we know that God is enough for us. In the next, very next portion of that Deuteronomy passage, it's a teaching about now every 3 years, bring a tithe of all that you've brought, all that you have. And this is for the aliens and the widows and the orphans. Yeah. As you trust in the Lord, know that he is enough. Be generous with that. Be generous with what the Lord has provided for you. And the other word I didn't mention here is creativity. You know that when we're just focused on I need to survive and make sure I have enough, it doesn't let us be very creative to be generous towards others. We're just focused. And maybe a too easy example right now. We hear a lot about Vladimir Putin right now. His choices right now aren't very creative. You know, it comes from a sense of scarcity, like we need to take this country over. It's not very creative as far as how to be generous and how to bless and find ways to uplift others, but just a very uncreative way to just grab something for oneself. And I say that's too easy because it's easy to pick a boogeyman and put this on somebody else, but to think about how that looks for us in our own lives. So in conclusion, how are you convicted to move from a scarcity mindset to one more of abundance? Like, where are you very protective or have this sense of not enough? Where are you focusing on your lack rather than what God may provide for you faithfully and what God has in store for you? How can you tell the story like they did in Deuteronomy? And it might not be your story right now, but believing that that's where your story is headed. How are you focusing on securing life for yourself rather than offering generosity and love towards other people? So, lots to think about on this topic, but may the Holy Spirit just lead us in new ways. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your provision. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. You provided that ram for Abraham as he sacrificed instead of Isaac. You provided Jesus, our Lord and Savior. You provide for us as we need according to your purposes, and that your kingdom may come and your will may be done. Give us a greater sense of trust in you, that we may move forward with generosity, with creativity, and with care for others. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.